When I see Hey Ya, like I think of that girl crying and singing along to it. Like that's just the reality of the situation. She stole that song from Outkast.
I miss
So just to
Andre 3000,
clarify,
by the way.
oh, I did see. So you know how people have been spotting Andre 3000 like
Yeah,
around the planet,
out here
like
fluting.
on like a flute? I've
He was
seen him
fluting
on
around
his
the world.
flute. I've
Where?
seen him on his flute in Soho in Manhattan. I think I know where he
100%.
lives. Not that I'm creeping on him and being creepy in any way, but I know where his flute lives.
He's like the. I guess he doesn't have
Earliest
enough.
person on the
Yeah,
planet,
I guess he
probably.
doesn't have enough songs out there, enough verses out there. But I think at his peak, he might be my favorite. Andre 3000, like a
Yeah,
tip-top
I'm with you,
3K verse.
man.
Like
I'm with you. I mean, him on that Frank Ocean album still. All right, coolest person in the world. Everybody go shout their answers at the same time. One, two, three.
me, Dominique
Keanu
Clatchworth.
Reeves.
Oh, two
Okay,
out
this
of
is
three.
Yes. Good
terrible.
job. Good job.
Terrible. Alabaster, you did not play the game, and I'm disappointed in you. You're also here.
I'm just disgusted that half of our panel think that Dominique is the coolest person in the world. That's just
So
I don't know which one I'm more
I'm
disappointed
disgusted.
in.
I'm disgusted that Alabaster does not know that Bill is making fun of me. So like he doesn't like Bill, you should be really disappointed that he thinks so little of you that you would actually come on here and give me a compliment. I know better. I know all of those are like secret digs.
No, Bill's been grinding cool guy tape.
That's
He's been
true.
working the film room
They're
for his
going around the
return
world.
here.
I've been looking for Andre 3000 around the planet over the past 6 months. That's why I haven't been here. So unfortunately, I had to just go to Soho, which was very close to where I could have been. Unfortunately, I didn't realize that popular. You should have given me that information.
Yeah,
Remember when
wrong,
you went to a
wrong, wrong,
Ducks?
Soho.
Remember when you went to
Yeah.
an Oregon Ducks game? Because the big boy's son is a duck. No one remembers
Oh
this but me.
yeah, no, I do. I do remember that.
All
That was
right,
cool.
now let's
Great
do
time.
fun stuff. Look at the
All
menu.
right.
I see a name on the menu that is always fun to talk about. What you got, Alabaster?
Well, I actually think that this is a pretty interesting football story as well with Deshaun Watson suspension and what Peter King is reporting and postulating and slightly speculating is that several NFL owners wanted Goodell to suspend Deshaun Watson for less than a year, which ended up happening with his 11-game suspension. The theory there being it's actually more punitive because they don't get an extra year of Deshaun Watson's contract, et cetera. And my question is, what do you make of that from these owners?
So, I mean, it makes sense.
I'm
Like
shocked. I'm
these,
shocked. I'm shocked that
yeah.
justice is not the priority, Dominic.
Yeah,
It's job one.
I probably should have taken a second to make sure it is clear that I too am shocked that justice is not the priority when
Thank you.
obviously we've all been saying for quite some time that this is not a noble pursuit, it's a business. But these rules are in place in order to like fight off like holdouts, or I guess potentially something never crossed my mind is like a trick holdout is where you could get yourself suspended for a whole season, in which case you would then. And I didn't realize that was something that could happen until I
Wait,
was reading this
a
case.
trick holdout, you say?
I mean, until I was reading the Peter King piece, I never considered that if a guy was like, I'm not playing the whole season and I don't care how much it costs, I want to get closer to free agency without putting any more wear and tear on my body, go ahead and get suspended
At the
for a
risk
season.
of at the risk of driving this car in perhaps a better place than question, what would be the best thing to do to get suspended for a year that would make all of this worth it and not suffer the consequences of like an actual
I mean,
bad
it
thing?
obviously it has to be like something that will not land you in real jail. I mean, I guess the betting on games
That's
that would
true.
really,
That's, you know
because it
what?
wouldn't require you to put any inject anything in your body or test positive or whatever. I wonder if
That's a good
there's a
answer.
provision in the CBA for like if you're like spotted doing something illegal, so you wouldn't have to actually do it. Like you got a big thing that says XXX steroids on your counter, and you go Instagram live. Are they suspending you for
I mean, didn't we see Antonio Brown test this exact possibility by doing crazier and crazier things as his time with the Raiders went along? Like
Also, a very good point. Yeah.
freezing your foot. Was he at a festival when he froze his foot? Do you remember where he froze his foot exactly?
Now, he was in one of those. He said it was one of those cryo things, right? Like
Okay,
a
but
cryo treatment thing.
where do you actually think he was when he froze his foot?
Oh, okay.
I'm not taking
I
that at
mean,
face value.
do
I'm
you
sorry.
actually think he froze his foot, though? Like, it's possible that he didn't even do it. He just said it.
What is truth is what we're getting to here. What is...
No, we're not getting to that. Just saying, Antonio Brown lies? Huh? I say that is something that should be on the table.
I find it incredibly unlikely that Antonio Brown, as creative as he may be, dreamt up, I'm going to fake a frozen foot and put out there.
He also does. I mean, I don't know that he ever really tells any lies. He's just very open about the things that we think he should lie about.
Alabaster, without knowing the full record, I'm going to say that that Antonio Brown also just lies. But what do you have
to say? I guess he's lying about the criminal stuff.
I think we should get back and let's respect the question here. We're 5 minutes in. Because this is interesting. Seriously, like, in certain ways, other owners thought this was more punitive to the entire situation, to the Browns, who, you know.
It's not more punitive to Deshaun Watson. It's not more punitive to Deshaun Watson. So I guess the Browns deserve some punishment also. So that's good to punish them. But it actually gets Deshaun Watson to free agency again sooner. Mm-hmm. And he's going to, like, get paid and be able to play sooner. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea is to punish the player, to discourage other players or whatever. And this seems like a situation that's like, oh, we want to punish you, but not too much.
That's promising. Hot take alarm has gone off. But Bill.
Safe. We have an alarm on our safe, and so we got to take out a stack of a mill. Has to be announced throughout the house.
So speaking of stacks of mills, right? This is Deshaun Watson's salary chart, Bill, right? There's a lot of commas in there.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of the story has to do with just the way that this is structured.
Actually, only one comma, but whatever.
Okay, well, if you were to actually write out what $46 million is, I think you get my point.
For the podcast
there, not a lot of commas.
For the podcast there's only one comma out there. Dominique decided to be pedantic of all things for this suddenly, strangely.
Yeah, I mean,
podcast audience.
What you should have said is there's one comma and there's a lot of L's, and I would like to take one of those L's because I'm going to lose all of today's debates in Debatable that actually are not scored.
For the love of God. Bill Barnwell. Please.
I'm sorry.
Please explain. Please explain what it is here that has made NFL owners so resentful and why it is that there's actually like a strategy here, because I did not see any of this really when I started thinking about for weeks.
NFL owners are haters, Pablo, and they hate this situation because a fair number of them try to get Deshaun Watson themselves. This was not just a Brown situation where the Browns woke up one day and said, hey, we should trade for Deshaun Watson. There was a bidding war for Deshaun Watson, realistically. Teams had to agree to terms, reportedly, with the Texans just to get the opportunity to pitch themselves to Deshaun Watson, like a prospect coming into college football. It was very much a bidding war. And so I think there's owners out there who are frustrated because the Browns basically handed Deshaun Watson a blank check and said, hey, fill this out with whatever terms you want. Fill it out with, you know, the most guaranteed money any quarterback has ever seen. Fill it out with a clause saying that you're not going to have your guarantees voided if you get suspended. He got whatever he wanted out of that deal. And there were teams that were willing to go almost as far, I would assume, but not quite as far. So I don't know if these are the owners who are complaining, but you know, realistically, this could have been the Falcons and $215 million or the Panthers and $200 million. Right. Owners who presumably wanted to get this deal done are frustrated that the Browns were able to get it done, as gross as that turned out to be.
I mean, it was every team that didn't have either a franchise quarterback or a young hopeful. Like every team that needed a quarterback and didn't have an answer seemed like they were in the running. So, like, I'm hesitant to even, like, absolve the other teams because they just weren't involved because they didn't have to be. I think they all would consider being involved. But the crux of all of this is, like, to me at least, is who do you want to feel this punishment, and is the punishment big enough? And I don't think if the hope was, like, I players union guy, I'm not out here advocating for more aggressive punishments generally. However, it seems like you're trying to punish the Browns by allowing him to like count this year, but I don't know that the Browns actually are going to feel that. Like, you're punishing them by allowing them to live by the contract that they signed, right? Which isn't much of a punishment. For it seems like there would be more of a punishment, or at least more pain felt by an individual and more pain felt by the Browns, honestly, if you suspend them for the whole year. So it's not something that I necessarily think should happen, but I do believe that the owners just care about competitiveness. Like, they don't really care about how this is going to work out or how the punishment works. They just don't want the Browns to feel like the Browns are getting some sort of advantage.
Yeah, it does feel like they mostly care about themselves, right? I mean, there's a self-interest here. Like, where does self-interest align? Well, I don't really care about justice. I don't really care about, you know, any of the things that we hopefully have been angry about in a sincere way about why this story has been bothersome. They care about how can they, I don't know, fight back against a team that messed up a market in their eyes and now is going to profit from it in ways that are frustrating.
Jimmy Haslam... Like, they didn't charge Jimmy Haslam with the fraud from Flying J, but he was like the CEO of the company during a time when they were, frankly, stealing money from their business partners by like fabricating their numbers. So, like, the idea that a guy like him
say allegedly here just for the sake
I think we should say allegedly, but I think that the federal government said it was not alleged. But anyway, the point is that this guy is representative, I think, of the rest of the guys. It's like, they want to win. Integrity be damned. This is about getting advantages or taking advantages from your opponents.
And I think that...
Go ahead. Before we get to him,
Before interject Tino. Yes. Like, the reality is, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, these are the same owners who get frustrated when Daniel Snyder is you know, they don't want to get punished for Daniel Snyder's punishments. They don't want to open up that door of Daniel Snyder losing his team because they might lose their team for their own indiscretions. Like this is a, hey, let's cover mine before I have to worry about covering someone else's.
Yeah.
Can I, Alabaster, can I interject Tino as well off of what Bill is saying and just sort of add some sort of other conspiratorial thinking here? Because could this also just be a leak to make it seem like there is some extra teeth here?
Yes.
Right? To the punishment? So. Like, actually, this is worse for the Browns. Like,
yeah. But I don't think that there's anybody out here clamoring for punishment to the Browns. Like, that's, to me, feels like what they've done is said, actually, it's not that bad for Deshaun Watson because we care about our ability to compete more than we care about punishing him. Like, I think if they thought that they were going to be like patted on the back for this, it seems to me at least that the response should be like, no, you argued it for it to be lighter on the person that we all believe should feel the most pain.
Alabaster, you may interject, Tino.
I'm ready.
I think we're good on this one. I will say, you know,
it is boring.
Maybe the best thing would have been 16 games and three quarters for a suspension so that everyone gets it.
I mean, to be clear, I never liked this topic from the beginning. I hated it. It's just talking about games.
I
playing.
Came around to enjoying it, Alabaster. Thank
See,
you.
See, this is a lying. Don't lie. We keep it real on this team. We're honest.
We got some good pedantic comments from Dominique that really made it, really took it to the next level for me.
Film study. You got to be honest after the game so you can get better.
Okay, well, let's move on. Got a question with the soundbite for you to listen to. Are you okay with Tom Brady's explanation of his training camp absence?
Oh, man. Let's just watch the video first and save our jokes for after.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with, so we all have really unique challenges to our life and you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on. So, you know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can. And, you know, it's a continuous process. So
Tom Brady is clearly having a midlife crisis.
Oh, sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think everybody will have some set of, and Dominique hates this word, but I'll use it here because it's accurate, some sense of existentialism when they get to the end of some professional road.
I hate how it's misused.
You complained about it last week.
Well, we misused it last week, but right now it's appropriate.
Okay. So part of the humor of the existentialism to me is when you see this video for the podcast audience, Tom Brady is not only saying a phrase that seems like kind of a cry for help. But he's also wearing a shirt, a hoodie that says Forever on mm-hmm. it. And his face looks like somebody who went to his plastic surgeon, showed him his hoodie and said, I want this, but for my face.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, ahead, I don't know about that. I don't know if we need the allegedly for that one, actually.
Empirically, but also allegedly. look at this.
Oh, yeah.
He looks so much like Carson Palmer in that one.
That's an insult to Carson Palmer, frankly. Carson Palmer at least had a tan for being at USC.
He looks a little Palmerish. I don't know if it's the beard is looking red on my monitor a little bit. I don't know. But
he looks like 200 people I knew in Massachusetts at that time. And none of them, I will tell you, I know from following them on Facebook, none of them turned out the way Tom Brady's turned out at age 45.
I mean, I think eating right and using expensive moisturizers and working out could do a lot, but it can't do that. I argued. So first of all, the sweatshirt says yeah. Forever. I mean, it's probably like $5,000, right? Is it some fancy brand that I never heard of? Is something cool?
Setting the line at
100%. Can we? Yeah. If we find that sweatshirt, I guarantee it will be more than I make in a month from ESPN.
Probably so. So that's the first bit of investigative journalism. The other bit, it seems like we've closed already because Bill said we don't have to say allegedly about what's happening to this man's
face. He talks, it's, you know, again, I'm not here to shame plastic surgery.
No.
I'm just here to be honest about what we're seeing.
I mean, it's a look, though. Like, I think that there's probably a lot of people that get plastic surgery that we don't know. And it's like, that's the perfect amount of plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the point where we're like, man, I don't know about this, but I feel like Tom Brady is only at that point because we've known him for so long.
That's
I'm not sure if I saw this person like for the first time, I'd be like, hey, he's getting some nips and some tucks. It's just because we're comparing him to what he used to look like.
That's right. The thing. Imagine if you were getting the amount of surgery that Tom Brady is, I'll throw it out there, allegedly getting. Check out the Twitter thread if you need to qualify that allegedly. But let's say Tom Brady, who was losing his hair at 26, yeah. happens to have a full head of like a full pompadour somehow at 45. I don't know how that happened, but.
Oh, it's brown
like,
too.
Like imagine if you had that, like if your random friend who is not famous had that happen each and every year of their life, they get photos up comparing themselves to the prior year in the same uniform, same backdrop, and just getting to focus on the possible plastic surgery they have had done. That's an incredibly high bar to set. So I don't fault Tom Brady. Tom Brady can get whatever he wants to get done. He looks great,
sure.
But let's not. Like the bar is high because Tom Brady is number one, Tom Brady, number two, married to a supermodel. So like, is there internal pressure you think that's causing him to get plastic surgery?
When are we going to get to the point where people can just be honest and open about it? I feel like some people are. I know like Wayne Rooney, Brian Urlacher
sure.
are people yeah. that are just like, hey,
yo, I was driving through
Chicago.
I was in Chicago mm-hmm. and there is a billboard by the airport.
Deion Sanders.
It's wild.
You remember Deion Sanders got a shape up for the first time in like 20 years? You guys don't remember this? It was a big deal. Like, why? I don't know. I kind of feel like that's the move to go with. It's like, I'm doing this. And rather than try to hide, because when you try to hide, we do all this other stuff. You say I'm doing it, we move on. There are no jokes to be made. But is there, before we get off of this topic,
yeah.
is there any fear that there's actually something really going on with Tom Brady? Because we're making jokes about him getting plastic surgery, taking breaks to get plastic surgery. But that, or was that answer just like, I know how to get him off of my case, make it seem serious?
Alabaster, guide me in terms of like what we can say here laughingly without getting ourselves in trouble, because there are certainly theories, right? I mean, there are the ridiculous, like, was he on The Masked Singer, like, doing that? Mm-hmm. Well, and to the serious, which is his marriage in trouble, right?
Yes.
Like, there are all of these real, like, I mean, when I say real, I mean they're being said by real people. I don't know if any of them are real. But it does seem like there is an actual thing that he's not trying to spell out for us so clearly.
Right, and that's what's interesting. While it is fun to just speculate about his hair, this is a 45-year-old guy who retired, unretired, is playing now behind a porous offensive line, skip part of training camp for we don't know why. And, like, that's interesting. He's been tied to several other teams this offseason, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Miami. He doesn't seem, it's hard to project his feelings, as much like he wants to be there as he has in years past when they were Super Bowl contenders, and now he's disappeared for 11 days. And that's, you know, we look at football as this sort of like militaristic all-in-together sport with the quarterbacks included, and he's just leaving. If Mahomes left, if Josh Allen left, if, you know, well, I guess Aaron Rodgers, if he left, he'd be like, that's on brand. But if the rest of the other good quarterbacks left, we'd be like, what is going on? And I think that's fascinating for Tom Brady, former leader of the Patriot Way, and his, like, army of, you know, Tom Brady sycophants who are on the offense with him.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, first off, can we all agree, before I get to the second point that Al Vasher just made, the Masked Singer thing is definitely astroturfing, right? Like, it's definitely the Masked Singer put that out there to try and grow attention for the upcoming season. We can all agree on that to start. But
I don't know.
But I think the point that's being made here is accurate, right? Like, Tom Brady retired to, I believe, start some kind of crypto company or work with crypto. The crypto market crashes, and then Tom Brady comes back to football and then leaves in the middle of training camp. No, I haven't been an NFL player. I have not experienced the horror of training camp from the football side as one of the people on this round table have. But like, if he just came out and said, hey, I wanted 2 weeks off, would that really be the worst thing in the whole world?
So this is where I think this is the right question.
He's a quarterback, by the way.
Well, but tell me if you're a teammate of his, and he's not at camp for 11 days, and he comes back, and he says something that seems to draw yet more attention to that issue. What are you thinking, just as a guy who's, like, in a locker room?
Nothing. You're happy to see. The thing is, Tom Brady has so much cachet. Like, honestly, if the starting quarterback on any team that I was on took a two-week hiatus, if he came back and played well, no one cares. Like, it's not – that's what it boils down to. And when you're Tom Brady in particular, which you are somewhere between a player and a god, that like there's nobody in that locker room. And on top of it, like everyone who plays with him likes him. Seems like he's a good guy. He's like whatever. Like there's no reason for anyone to turn on Tom Brady. And they don't have, no one has any like leverage or authority to like be pissed at Tom Brady. I can't imagine that the corner of the locker room trash talk involves anybody like, hey, see this guy, he's not all the way in. Am I right? For the guy who's playing for his 45th year professional football. I do want to talk about another quarterback's interview though, whenever we're done.
I feel actually quite insecure about the confession I'm about to make. I listened to the whole thing yesterday.
You did?
Really?
3+ hours. Somewhere between 2.5 and 6 hours of my life yesterday was spent listening to Aaron Rodgers and Joe Rogan.
I just read like a TMZ article, which I'm not sure that things posted on TMZ can be considered articles because it's only like six sentences. I mean, it just like it feels like cheating because whenever you say I read something, it feels like you're like bragging a little bit. But
I grazed my eyeballs across words.
When you say like I read TMZ, it feels like you're lying when it's not a full read. Like bring it up on your phone.
Do you guys want to explain to the audience you're talking about Aaron Rodgers? Let people in on the discussion we're having instead of talking around it.
Your job.
My job. Okay.
Please.
Alabaster, we gave you the floor, buddy. Explain what we're talking about.
Aaron Rodgers talked to Joe Rogan. Proceed.
Okay.
Just another quarterback who talked for 3.5 hours on YouTube.
I thought you were going to explain the part about how, I mean, at least the TMZ part that was interesting was him explaining why he did not get vaccinated and kind of positioning himself as a victim. And we didn't have enough information because he was allergic to two of the shots, and one shot he was about to get, the Johnson & Johnson one, but that got pulled back for whatever reasons, and he had wristbands on, and he never lied to anybody, and one of his vaccinated teammates gave it to him. Pablo, you listen to the whole thing, so go right.
All I will say as a means of moving the show forward and summarizing this is, if you ever had a friend and you were like, I wonder if taking an intense psychedelic drug would completely change how this person sounds and acts, I have bad news for you. Aaron Rodgers is simultaneously preaching preaching, right, about ayahuasca and then sounding exactly like the Aaron Rodgers that many teammates have anonymously trashed at the same exact time.
Hashtag built different is what it boils down to here.
All right. Well, it wasn't on the menu, so I won't dwell on it anymore. But it was
Have many, many more thoughts. But Alabaster, at the risk of detouring, you know, I just think he's interesting. Like, I listen to it and I'm like, wow, he's legitimately, there are things where I'm like, I get why we all enjoyed listening to Aaron Rodgers talk for a long time. Like, we did. And he personally feels aggrieved that all of his media friends, he said this at one point in the interview, had turned on him and left him out in the dust because of the whole thing, which just, like, the vaccine thing is just so tiresome for me. Like, it's a lot of victory lap stuff, right? I was right. Look at how the world is now. And so, like, I don't even want to argue with that. Right. What I mostly find interesting is just there is something in him that is legitimately interesting and thoughtful and introspective. And he says things where I'm like kind of nodding. Truly, yeah. I am. He talks about pain addiction, painkiller addiction in the NFL and just like the pharmaceutical company. Like, I get all of that. But it's just that he went through the wars of being dunked on by a certain section of the internet, and that has tainted the entire well. Like, it's just it's just sad. It's sad that we lost him in that way. But anyway.
I think that you've said something in there that could be clipped that would suggest that you are ready to join the Aaron Rodgers cult.
Yeah, so. I 100% agree. Pablo, yeah. Were you taking ayahuasca while you were listening to the Aaron Rodgers conversation?
Get the tat, Pablo. Get the tat. Get the weird artistic tat and join up with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to come in tomorrow with my hair pulled really straight back as he has in the interview. All right, Alabaster. Alabaster, before I get radicalized any further, let's keep going.
Honestly, like, I kind of want to see you with, like, a model bun pulled all the way back.
I know,
now.
Just a hair bun.
We're going to do the first ESPN live show from Burning Man this upcoming year.
So let's pivot to a little bit of college football. And how embarrassed should Nebraska be about their week zero loss?
Man. Okay, so Nebraska and Northwestern played college football in Dublin, which is a thing that college football teams do now, apparently. I don't know, Bill, if that was a thing everyone was buzzing about when you were over across the pond anticipating this game. But apparently Scott Frost took his vomitous, like, linemen over there. He talked about how they were, like, barfing in their grade of football, toughness, etc. They traveled 4,000 miles to Ireland to lose to Northwestern by doing a thing that I have done in video games, which is to say, score a lot of points and then just start onside kicking because why the hell not?
Yeah, that was a big mistake. They actually, like, looked good. The KC Thompson, like, was making incredible plays. So it's hard to say they looked good because all the incredible plays that KC Thompson was making, the quarterback there, seemed like they were, like, him doing impressive things out of the offensive structure. So, like, it also feels like even though they were, like, a favorite in this game, it also feels like they didn't really outplay Northwestern. So the onside kick's going to get a lot of attention. But it seemed to me like that onside kick is something that you do when you know that you're not good. Like, and it's something that you do when you're like, man, we're holding on. So I don't hate the decision. It looks really dumb now, but it kind of felt like they were just going to lose anyway.
I mean, nobody ever sees a fake onside kick or an onside kick that fails and says, you know what? That was a really good idea, even though it didn't work out. Same thing with fake punts. Same thing with fake field goals. If it fails, it's, oh, that was stupid. And then here's the post, you know, post-fact justification for why it was stupid. After that fake or after the onside kick happens, they don't get it. Northwestern scores a touchdown on a short field. Okay, great. They have the momentum now, whatever that is. Over the next six drives, Northwestern scores one touchdown, which also came on a short field after an interception. Going, you know, like the idea that they went on a they tried an onside kick and it failed, it doesn't prevent you from scoring on your next six drives, Nebraska. Yeah. Like, you could have kept scoring. You still had the lead after Northwestern scored that touchdown. So to me, like, the idea that caused it is ridiculous. That's one reason why. The second reason why is that we know Nebraska can lose close games without an onside kick. Yeah. They are 5-21 under Scott Frost in games decided by 7 points or less, and they didn't do onside kicks in all those games too. So, like, the idea that they needed this one terrible thing to happen to lose this close game, I don't buy that. It's not like the Seahawks, you know, throwing an interception at the goal line because there was not a good alternative. The alternative is you happen to be terrible at this stuff anyway. So to me, why not try something weird to throw off your bad mojo from the past 25 games?
That's the feeling I got too. It's like, you want to be an aggressive team. I didn't hate the decision. It looks really stupid in hindsight, but your point is well made, Bill, is that they could have still won and they chose not to. And it seemed like that was a line of demarcation for when they just started throwing interceptions. Like Casey, I think, threw two interceptions after that, right? Mm-hmm. And like everything fell apart. Had any of those other things not happened, we'd be like, hey, Scott Frost, intense, aggressive, and he's finally turning things around in Nebraska. You think he wants to go back to Central Florida?
I mean, I assume he would have had a, like, they would have poured a Gatorade bucket of puke on him if they had won that first game. The other fascinating thing that happened in this game, though, way more interesting to me than the fake punt, the onside kick, is that in this game, in, I forget the name of the stadium, I don't have to know the name of the stadium, but in Dublin, the tills did not work. The concessions did not have working credit card readers, and it's cash free. And so what they did is they gave everyone free beer, which I thought about American sports and American stadiums. And in Washington alone, just with the Commanders alone last year, they had a pipe burst.
Yeah.
Onto people. They didn't give those people free beer. They had, that's an allegedly, they had a railing break and fans fall onto the field.
Onto a
not
player.
On Jalen Hurts, yeah. Not only did they not give them medical treatment, they told them to get the F off the field and certainly did not give them free beer. So the bar for what it would take to get free beer in America is so much higher than it was apparently in Ireland.
Are they nicer than us too?
Not to traffic in stereotypes, a very Irish response to a tragedy, which I appreciate.
Wow.
I love it.
I can say that. I'm 1% Irish.
Irish-American. I'm offended, Pablo.
All right, what's next?
All right, we're going to move on to a couple of what are the chances. The first one I got for you guys. What are the chances that this clip makes you think less of Jalen Rose as an athlete?
Roll it.
Jalen, I love you. I love you, Jalen. But let's,
That's fine.
This one will work. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Third time's the charm. Oh.
Yeah. The screams from the crowd. it goes from laughing to just sheer empathy and panic.
Oh my gosh! I stopped watching.
I didn't realize this clip went on that long.
Did he hit the next one?
We didn't even grant him. We didn't even grant him the video of him actually. I mean, did he actually end up hitting it, or did we actually mercifully?
Eventually, he had a weak ground ball to right center.
How do you feel like Hutchinson feels about his jersey being prominently displayed like this? He hasn't even had a chance to play in a regular season football game, and he's already being embarrassed.
He's the bad golf guy.
Yeah, it doesn't help what I think about his athleticism. But that's more hand-eye coordination type of stuff than athleticism. He's still a great athlete.
I relate to Jalen Rose. I'm not a golfer. I'm not even going to try. Yeah. Like, there is something to be said for, look, on the one hand, discretion is the better part of valor. On the other hand, just like, if you're at a place and you're like a beloved famous guy, like go see what that feels like. What I'm curious about is whether Jalen is ever gonna play golf again.
Ooh,
has he ever played before?
Doesn't look like it.
Did he play then? I don't think he's played golf yet. I still think Jalen Rose has never played golf.
He's attempted golf, certainly.
But,
here's the thing. I will say 0%. And here is why. If I did not know who Jalen Rose was, if I can identify him by face, if I just watched this clip, I would know Jalen Rose was an athlete. And here's why. Because if I did this, I would take one swing. If I was on video with a crowd there, I would take one swing and be mortified. I would take two swings and be in tears and leave the ground never to return. Jalen was so confident in his athleticism and his ability that he was going to get it right that he took five swings, at least five swings on the video before presumably giving up. That is an athlete's confidence there. You keep shooting if you're an athlete. I could never and would never in a million years. Two shots, I am out of there.
I love that he missed it the same way every time. Yes. Which to me, like the fact that he didn't make an adjustment, to me suggests that in his brain, he was like, I'm doing it right. Something's wrong with this ball. Something's wrong with this club. Because he doesn't even try to adjust. He goes high on it or he goes...
He goes wide every time. It's always the same precision. The precision is there.
It's the perfect... Yes. Yeah, yes. Every single time he gives you the same shot. So he's just thinking like, man, something wrong. There's a glitch in the game. Do it again.
I for those reasons, right? Like
every time.
I think Jalen Rose is actually a better athlete. Yeah. Having watched that. Yeah. I'm going to go minus 50% because if golf was a game where you had to hit that little patch of dirt,
incredible.
That dude is Tiger Woods.
He just needs to aim below the ball and he'd be a perfect golfer. I would like to go negative 51% because you're right. To be able to replicate that precision hand-eye coordination every single time is difficult.
And the club seemed kind of short, Alabaster. Yeah. You seem like a golfer, Alabaster. Like, I feel like he wasn't given the right tools.
Huh. What makes you think that? But yes, I do think the clubs are too short. I think that's a huge part of it. He was using 5'10" person clubs and he's 6'8".
If you're Aiden Hutchinson, do you not have to try and reverse this on Jalen Rose? Do you go wear a Jalen Rose jersey and go do something else terribly?
I like that.
And he is that thing?
Football. He should just go get his ass kicked in game one in a number 9 jersey.
I love you, Jalen Rose.
Pablo, did you know Jalen Rose's number was 9?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, you know his college number?
Absolutely not.
Pablo has this thing where he can't remember numbers of anything ever.
Yeah, it's like people can't remember faces, but numbers.
You can ask him any player in history, no matter how famous, he might mess it up.
I got some bad news. I'm exactly the same way. Oh, I can't remember.
Yes!
Wow.
Thank you, Bill.
Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu. Anybody.
0% chance of ever knowing the answer.
Say a number.
41?
Pablo?
43.
I know that.
Very good.
Okay. All right. We're moving on.
By the way, just heads up, Dominique, he was number 5 everywhere, not number 9. But
I know he's 5 in college. Apologies. Maybe I'm with you guys. Nobody knows numbers.
Guys, I got a football clip. This is
welcome.
This football is back based on this clip. And my question, what are the chances that Bloopy did a good job toting the mail against these youth football players?
Who the hell is Bloopy?
Oh, my gosh. You haven't seen this?
A Blippy offshoot. Oh!
Oh, damn.
Get off me!
Wait. Wait.
What are the rules? Like, are there waivers signed?
Can I formally ask Jimmy Pitaro to bid on the live rights to whatever sport this is? I want to watch more of this.
Oh, gosh. I hate it so much.
That's why?
Because, like, Bloopy, I'm sure that you would be in the NFL if it weren't for the fact that your high school coach didn't like you or you blew out your knee your sophomore year.
You blitzed out your knee.
Literally 2 hours later, the Ravens mascot blew out his knee in the same thing. And the kid who tackled him gritted away while he was writhing in pain on the floor.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Now that's what I like to see. Like, I don't know, grown men in costumes, stiff arming peewee football players to the ground. Like, it feels completely unnecessary. I feel like the first time one of these mascots did it, it was cute. But now these mascots out here trying to go viral, stiff-arming little kids. Like, stop it. Them kids going to get hurt. Like, the Ravens mascot getting hurt is funny. One of these kids, like, arms going stiff because his head bounced off the ground.
This is a father.
Because Bloopy wants to relive his glory days. I'm good. No, thank you.
Okay, can I tell you what happened here? Because I feel very confident I know what happened here. So first off, Bloopy gets this pitch. There's a linebacker waiting in the alley. That's just poor blocking, poor play design, first off. You need to have that alley cleared out. So I think Bloopy, just on instinct, maybe from that high school football career you said he had, on instinct, stiff arms this kid. And at that point, he's stuck. Because if you just stiff arm one kid and then let the other ones tackle you, that looks like you just had an agenda and wanted to take out that one kid. So once you stiff arm the first kid, okay, you got to keep going. You just got to take them all out while you can.
You're planning a career in mascot defense lawyering? Like,
I will say, like, Dominique raises a point that, like, if you take all of these people out of their suits and you just have them do this, it looks mm-hmm. straight up perverse.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
sure.
Why are we having adults play against kids and stiff arming them? Actually, now that this video is playing, it still looks quite perverse.
That's Bloopy again? Like, so, okay, he's in mm-hmm. a costume, so mm-hmm. we excuse him. Mm-hmm. If that is a grown man not in a costume, what do you think he's like? Who is he? Who is the person that does this? It's not a person that any of us want to like or root for. Because he has on a Bloopy helmet, people are like, oh, this is funny, this is cool. He's crushing kids. Like, that's a grown man pushing children to the ground repeatedly for no reason.
I wish I could somehow contribute $5,000 to have Aaron Rodgers on ayahuasca watch this mascot versus teenagers game and see what he thought.
I'll double that to get Aaron Donald to play against these mascots.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm happy with them to get their comeuppance. There's nothing wrong with the Ravens mascot getting taken out by that tackle. That's fine by me. But I guess the question I have is, he came back later in that game. Do you think they replaced him with a different guy underneath the Ravens costume? Or did he come back with an injury to play in that game?
Nope. They brought in a understudy. That's obviously what happened. He's not that tough. He got carted off with his helmet still on. He didn't come back from that. That's absurd. What would you allow your child if
this is abstract.
Would you put Maggie out there? And
Maggie just underwent surgery and has staples in the back of her neck right now after undergoing surgery. So, yes, I would put Maggie out there because Maggie would protect herself at all times, which is the thing you have to do. That's what they tell people in the UFC. That's what you should tell people in mascot versus child football, is protect yourself at all times when you're out there.
Children, that poor kids.
I just love the idea that at some point there was a call, like a conference call, and they're like, well, what are we doing? Like, well, we're going to have the kids play against the mascots.
I've played a lot of games with kids, and when it is mm-hmm. a physical sport like that, you have to go jukes only. There's no running through. Mm-hmm. There's no stiff arms. You go jukes only. I mean, if a little kid tears his meniscus because I cut back too fast, well, that's on you, kid. But I'm not gonna push you to the ground. That's different. You got to be ready for these Barry Sanders jukes.
Muscle injuries, okay. Bone injuries, not okay, says Dominique Foxworth.
Obviously. Right. Everyone knows that. You pull a hammy trying to catch me, that's on you.
Yeah, Dominique Foxworth did not traumatize that child. Gravity did, Your Honor.
Exactly. Inability to anticipate the cutback. Poor angles. I'm thinking less.
Wait.
Math tore his ACL.
Are you traumatized by a stiff arm?
Yeah. That's what it seems like.
Never traumatized by a stiff arm.
So this is all about the Michael Turner stiff arm? This is where it all comes full circle?
I've never actually been stiff armed. I tackle too low for that to happen. I don't think I've ever actually gotten stiff armed in my life. I'm trying to think back. But maybe I forgot it, because stiff arms are very dangerous because your head might hit the ground, especially if you're smaller than the people you're playing against by a whole lot. Stop letting these stupid mascot stiff arm kids to the ground.
100% a good job.
Mm-hmm.
100% a good job.
I agree. 100%. You knew the assignment, executed it to perfection. Dominique's points may be valid, but once you're on the field, you got to play.
Tape don't lie.
Angry face percent is what I would like. Give me some eyes that are coming in. That's a sad face. That's not an angry face.
Angry, gosh. but laying down as Bloopy runs past you.
Michael Turner kind of built like Bloopy.
Relative to those kids, yeah.
All right, guys, we got 2 minutes left. One more. And I have a question for you to finish.
Bloopy is pretty thick now that I think about it.
If tonight is Serena Williams' final singles match, then blank.
If tonight is Serena Williams' final singles match, then I'm glad she's playing doubles with Venus on Wednesday, I think. Like, we got to get so much more juice out of this if this is just one and done for her.
Yeah.
In the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, I mean, I guess it depends on the performance. You know, like, I could see myself leaving this very sad. But one, because we won't see her again because the performance is so great, and I know she hasn't officially retired. Or two, because it's just we watch her and we're like, oh, that's why she has to hang it up. It's not because she wants to grow a family. It's because she can't do it the way that we want to do it or we want to see her do it anymore. So I don't know. I'm not anticipating leaving this feeling like triumphant or even as grateful as I should feel for the career that we've been able to watch. I'm just going to be disappointed because it's over.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the most important, the essential people, athletes of our generation in terms of what she accomplished. I mean, Billie Jean King wrote about it in the Times about how she changed the game of women's tennis, that her having a serve of her quality changed the game. Everyone had to adapt to catch up to her. And that is, I don't know how many athletes there are in this generation who are like that, like the Brady with the Patriots in 07, where they changed the way the NFL passed the ball, maybe. But like, it's just, she's one of one. And I think getting to see anybody who is that unique and that special, it's a privilege. And I feel like it also is going to make me feel really old, frankly. Yeah. And I don't want to have to feel that. So that's my other concern, is I want her to keep playing so I don't feel quite as old as I'm going to be when she retires.
I feel old all the time, so then nothing happening makes me feel old. It's a nice place to be. Just like lean into it. I am old. Serena.
It does feel like, I just realized, you know, like Serena wouldn't even use the word retire, right? Which makes me think that she is going to try so hard. Like, what I'm not concerned about is effort level. The person who will not even admit that she is about to retire is not about to roll over. So on that level, at the very least, I'm excited about it. But I also feel old. And excitement is a lower bar for me, too.
I feel ready to run over a kid in the mascot outfit. That's how old I feel right now.
Bloopy.